Welcome, everyone, to Commerce Experience. I'm your host, Brian Walker. Generative AI has been all the talk this year, and the speed at which things continue to evolve and the implications for commerce as a whole are fascinating. We have covered the impact generative AI will have on the digital commerce experience here on earlier episodes of the podcast, but today we're going to narrow our lens to one particular area we've yet to talk about much, and that is digital marketing. In this episode, together with a handful of guests, we're going to look at questions of how this AI evolution is being experienced by marketers today and what that may look like in the future. How is generative AI influencing strategy across marketing channels, from email to social to search? How are internal marketing teams deploying it for content creation, ideation, and more? And how, enabled by generative AI, personalization will revolutionize how marketing is done in the decades to come. I've said it before, but I think it's important to say again. This may be the most significant technological innovation to impact both human culture and commerce since the iPhone launched in 2007, or for that matter, maybe since the internet itself was created. AI, of course, has in many ways been present in marketing for many, many years now, being used in programmatic advertising, send time optimization, ad targeting, search marketing, personalization, and of course, in testing. But generative AI is an inflection point. Large language models have opened up a whole new frontier, creating ad copy, creating images, creating code, and enabling all kinds of data and business processes to be transformed into language and generated through generative AI. Let's first look at the impact this is already having on how marketers work and how they may work in the future. I've heard it all, from a founder in a mid-market apparel brand who told me he has developers working to automate marketing by integrating his company's product catalog with ChatGPT, to marketers downplaying the impact beyond having generative AI help develop ideas. For a perspective on this, I turned to Paul Blakely, founder and CTO of Zenlytic, a natural language BI tool powered by generative AI.
I think generally the theme here is less drudgery. One of the things that you can kind of, you know, relate AI to is it's sort of like if you had a very eager, very excited, very energetic, but absolutely no context intern, just get dropped in to something. If there's drudgery, that's exactly the kind of thing you want to put this person on. So drudgery like pulling data, drudgery like creating a first draft of something that feels very obvious to you, a lot of the drudgery of the work is going to go away. And that's super exciting because then humans get to do what humans are really good at, which is also, turns out, the things we enjoy doing more. I'm really excited about that impact.
By taking some of the work out of marketing blocking and tackling, generative AI can help free up marketing teams to focus on the things that they cannot normally get to. For another perspective, I turn to Daniel Edelman, co-founder and CEO of Runic, a social listening solution powered by AI.
Generative AI frees up marketing teams to focus more on being creative and thinking about harder problems, things like analytics and coming up with initial content ideas. Generative AI can handle that, and that frees up marketing teams to really focus on issuing content and experiences that are unique to the brand. Generative AI is a great assistant, but it's never going to replace the marketer's brain.
The very nature of how marketers work will be transformed, with AI-powered solutions used to work ahead and alongside marketers who will focus on training and tuning these solutions, editing and improving their output, while leveraging AI to scale testing and personalization. I asked Kevil Boxey, CEO of Codal, a UX design agency, for his perspective.
So a couple of years into the future, the hierarchy chart just won't be individuals with different titles or roles. You'll probably see a collection of AI services, a collection of custom-built AI services, and then those would kind of fit into the workflow. So modern workflow of launching a new blog post could be human intervention for outlines, AI generation of content and imagery, and then automatic publication, versus what we see today is pretty all centric around editors, writers, creators making that happen.
And even how marketers engage with the tools they use is set to change, democratizing the experience of working with them while opening up advanced capabilities to even the most junior marketers. Again, Paul from Zenlytic.
Marketing teams spend an ungodly amount of time trying to access data, trying to record things, trying to make sure things are measured. and just, you know, being able to iterate faster on campaigns, audiences, what's working well, what should we double down on, what should we stop doing. And this takes a huge amount of time. This is a lot of back and forth with, you know, analysts and people on the team that take days to weeks to actually get any answers from. And it's really painful. I think in the future, marketing teams are just asking, like Zoe is our AI analyst chatbot. They're just able to ask Zoe about their data questions and get those answers quickly, which means they're not spending time doing mundane, waiting on someone to reply to their Slack message kind of tasks. They're actually, you know, in there doing the creative work that's both more enjoyable and more helpful for the business.
But of course, the advancement in AI will have a significant impact beyond just the back office and how marketers work. It's going to change the customer experience, even in established marketing channels. We're all going to get a lot more used to experiences that feel, perhaps ironically, even more like we're engaging with a human than today. Talking to our devices and getting very specific answers to the questions we have or the products and experiences we're looking for will become the norm. Hunting and pecking and sorting through search results, many of which are veiled advertising, today, well, that's a pain. And generative AI is set to change the expectations we have in a very meaningful way.
Search is really the backbone of the internet, and it's how we find everything that matters to us, whether it's generally on the internet with Google or on an e-commerce site, finding the right products that matter to us. We've already seen generative AI getting integrated into search in really interesting ways. So Google with Bard, Microsoft has Bing with OpenAI. It allows for a level of granularity and targeting that has never been before possible, where before we used to have to kind of use keywords and phrases and hope that whatever algorithm we were interfacing with understood what our intent was. But generative AI, we can talk to as if we would a person. That allows for a level of nuance and relevancy that has never been before possible. In terms of email, SMS, social, we're going to see, and are already seeing in early stages, personalization levels that have never been possible before, where you can target individual people or groups and issue content that's incredibly relevant to them and bring them closer to the brand and help make the brand more relevant for them.
Channels that have been one-way communications, often not personalized at all, will be transformed into conversational experiences. That is true for how we search, as well as channels like email and SMS.
So the first is like SMS. And that's just that things get more conversational. This is maybe the slam dunk, the obvious one that you can talk about a brand. If a brand has well-defined values, positioning, documentation on what their product is like, you can just ask them about it the same way you would as a conversation. That's the obvious one. The one that's not as obvious is social. And the thing that changes there is that with Gen AI, you have the ability to create images, obviously create copy, create content. But the other thing you have is the ability to also measure more accurately the impact of that content. So you can actually create a message, create content, create images, create text that's designed to be memorable, designed for people to be able to remember it. So I think brands that succeed in this kind of world are going to be able to actually have rigorous, like quantitative ways to generate memorable, exciting, engaging content.
I've been in social analytics for a long time, since 2010. And the tools that we've had have always been fairly blunt in terms of deriving granular insights and really getting accurate data. But here at Runic, we're using AI to analyze social and then take those insights rooted in the consumer voice and create personalized content for brands that are a combination of what people are saying and what brands want to achieve. And so we've never been able to do something like this at scale so quickly, so accurately. It's really exciting, and it's going to allow brands to benefit as well as consumers.
If someone's opted in on email and SMS, great, we have two touch points to that end customer. However, there are APIs and data integrations out there. We can look at what they read, what they click, use a little bit of AI and machine learning, and then promote that through social media ads, remarketing ads, over-the-air ads. And it allows opening of channels that were probably traditionally pretty expensive because it was too broadly targeted to now be targeted specifically to certain users or certain groups of users.
When it comes to the impact this will have on digital marketing, personalization and the ability to more effectively communicate with and serve a customer is a key opportunity. But beyond the ability to leverage first-party and zero-party data, the data you both gather from customers' interactions and that which customers share with you directly, with permission, of course, is also the opportunity to produce the content needed to personalize with, which has been a huge barrier in the deployment of personalization across marketing in the past.
So marketers faced with many challenges for personalization, right? So the key category we hear from our enterprise clients is headcount. They don't have enough folks to really accurately target a specific area. Generative AI really helps, right? You have a 1-to-5 ratio, 1-to-10 ratio. You can do 10 vertical channels with one person now because the AI is doing the heavy lift while you're providing strategy or editing the respective data or content that it produces. So that's one, I think, big area. Another area has been around analytical data. Generative AI is able to read and learn, adapt very quickly, whereas human kind of analysis of data and process, it will work, but the time is too long, right? So this is the speed to market model works really well with this.
Beyond more effective personalization to each individual, there's also the matter of scale and getting more fine-grained in the use of personalization in marketing.
Generative AI allows for a level of personalization that is totally unprecedented. So marketing teams are going to be able to create really specific micro campaigns that target certain groups of people or customers, and it's going to be incredibly quick, and you won't need to spend days or weeks perseverating over a marketing calendar. In terms of measurement, we're able to get a granular insights that we've never been able to before. Generative AI can take into account context, implied meaning, sarcasm, slang, things that we weren't really able to measure and get at before, and really getting at the true meaning behind the customer voice is something that matters deeply to brands and helps them better connect their products and services to consumer needs.
We're on the edge of something big, the future of AI-powered e-commerce. Join us this August along with fellow industry leaders in digital commerce and AI for live conversations about what e-commerce can achieve in a symbiotic future with AI. We'll talk about how AI fits into your business today, tomorrow, and for the limitless future ahead. In short, 2 days of thought-provoking conversation, perspective-shifting keynotes and sessions, and endless opportunities for growth. Connect with Bloomreach on your favorite social channel to learn more and watch live.
This all begs the question of how a marketer should evaluate these solutions moving forward, and how businesses should look to leverage this technology, from the vendors they work with today to the vendors they work with in the future to what they may want to build themselves. I asked Kevil from Codal how businesses should think about this.
I think the vetting process is I think we'll see a lot of development around this. So you have concerns from intellectual property ownership to trade secrets being leaked to the respective service provider. Very similar to a procurement cycle. I think we'll probably see AI procurement, AI process procurement implemented. This will kind of happen in the sense of, do we build and train our own AI model for very highly intellectual property, confidentially proprietary data, or do we go rely on something that is trusted and it works in the marketplace, and we have a subscription fee and we can look at that. So I think the vetting process from a legal business standpoint will be in that bucket. Then you have production standpoint, right? Is how valuable is that data? We can't have 15 blog posts identify the same content, right? Or the same general tone of content. I think there'll be quality scores probably issued to how the AI works, right? If you have image AI or sound AI, how that kind of operates.
For another perspective on how to move forward, I also turned to Dan from Runic.
In terms of vetting the right technology, it's tough right now because it's really early with generative AI. The world became aware of it in only December. And there are a lot of companies out there saying that it's a silver bullet for everything. And that's simply not the case. At Runic, we've been working in generative AI for about a year now, or a little over a year. It has real limitations, and there have been improvements as models have improved and new LLMs have come out. But it's important to really focus in on use cases that are specific. If a company touts that they can solve every problem under the sun, they're probably being disingenuous. Companies that are solving really targeted problems with generative AI, that's a really great use case for it at this moment. And it's important too for teams who are vetting these tools to look at the industry experience of the people building the tools. Are they familiar with the problems they're solving, or are they just trying to apply generative AI in any way possible?
With all the promise, there are some hidden pitfalls of generative AI in marketing. We may be a ways from seeing this become a real concern, but one hidden pitfall of large language models are that these are essentially probabilistic models of what is expected next. There is a significant danger that generative AI paired with optimization techniques and automation could lead to an even greater proliferation of sameness that now seems to plague everything from automobile design to interior design to architecture and art, amplifying what people are already prone to do or to want. How these systems have been developed thus far also opens up the very real question of intellectual property rights and licensing related to generative AI. Just as music sampling was made possible with the advent of recorded music, the digitization of music paired with modern music production software led to an explosion in the use of sampling. Those who wrote, performed, produced, and owned the original content naturally felt their rights needed to be protected, and we can easily see how generative AI will make that a greater concern. That same challenge will be felt now across a wide spectrum of the arts and society, and certainly in commerce and marketing as well. There is also the challenge of bias in these systems, which is really a problem of the types of training data used to develop these systems. Hopefully that issue mitigates and we end up creating an even more inclusive and personalized engagement with customers, one that can cross culture, language, and background. So there's a lot to navigate here: how marketers work and the role of these systems in helping them do more and do it better, the experiences customers have and the types of channels through which marketers and customers engage, and what that means for marketing in the future. But as we scratch the surface, I think we can all see that there is little question that generative AI will transform both commerce and marketing, and that we'll be talking about it for many years to come. Thank you all for listening, and thank you as well to Daniel Edelman from Runic, Kevil Boxey from Codal, and Paul Blankley of Zenlytic for sharing their thoughts with me as well. For more on this, I encourage you to all attend the Edge Summit on August 24th and 25th, or join me on the live stream as we dig into this fascinating and ever-changing topic further. In the meantime, be safe, be well, and here's to good business.